All right, Monday, which means it's One Take Time with my mate Monty Beetham. Before we get into dissecting that game, though, a quick shout out to the TAB. Of course, they are the partners of this podcast. If you are having a flutter on the rugby league action this weekend, make sure you download their app or head along to their website, www.tab.co.nz. And as always, please gamble responsibly. Monty, mate, the result didn't go our way, but there were still plenty of positives from that performance.
You said it, Benny. A lot of positives. And even before that, I'm just going to touch on the cup game before that, where three pathway players are scoring four of the tries in a very emphatic win over there against the West Magpies, which is huge. Mutu Pasikala scored two tries, 148 metres out. Rone Tupulotu-Vea scored a try. I think it's probably his first in cup. And then, of course, Harry Durbin. So that's three guys working through the pathways, coming through and doing really well in cup. So just shows you the depth of the squad, man.
Yeah, you love to see that. And what, that's three wins out of their four games as well. So it's been a big month for that team too. Climbing up the ladder in fifth now, I think.
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, when you get all the big bodies and the personnel and having a bigger squad to choose from, that just means that they can filter down. And the guys that have been up there previously with the next man up mentality get their time, you know, on the saddle and learning, you know, amongst a different group of competitors, but also players around you.
Yeah, love that. Future's looking bright. First 20 minutes on the weekend, we got off to a massive start. And it's good to see our starts, I think, have been a whole lot better over the last couple of weeks too, because we got into a bit of a trend there of letting teams get a head start on us and then pegging them back. But this week, we came firing out the gates.
Yeah, you couldn't write a better script. But unfortunately, you couldn't have a worse opponent to play against in terms of someone that's used to adversity, showing such resilience, also being Old Boys Day, the memorial they had the day before for Mick Moore, who passed away in 2000, you know, and the Old Boys being on hand to witness in that. But there was no lack of motivation for either side. I came to the game and it felt like more than an NRL match. It felt like there was a test match sort of feel around the place. And I know in the change rooms coming into it, the boys were ready. They prepared well through the week. They had this confidence about them. They had this real belief, and nothing's changed after the game, but they took that into the match. And the way they played was absolutely crazy. Now, we heard about what life was going to be like now with SJ partnering with Tamati and all these other boys coming back into the fold. And it was a beautiful first 20 minutes. And, you know, to think at one stage we're up there in commentary and Glenn Lamo said it was 60 tackles that Melbourne had made to the Warriors 5. So just to see the resilience and the Warriors storm that Melbourne held off and then came back was huge. But, you know, to see what is possible when the boys have that ball, they roll through, because normally the Melbourne Storm is a side that chokes you and strangles you, and there's a lot of that trying to happen early on and a lot of six again. But it was a great 20 minutes to watch, and especially call upstairs, man.
You mentioned a stat there, and when you look at the stats post-game, you'd assume that we'd come out on the right side of that ledger. We won the completion rate, total run metres, almost twice as many tackle breaks. Post-contact, we dominated, offloads, only 26 missed tackles compared to their 45.
Yeah.
Is that more a testament to the Melbourne Storm, while at the same time acknowledging we were right in the mix in that one, right? Just a few crucial moments, maybe some errors or piggyback penalties that relieved a bit of pressure, and then they're just too hard to peg back.
I think it's a testament into both, you know, to make the third best defensive side in the competition miss 45 tackles, you know, when there was no doubt that they came with a job to do. They weren't as happy with their performance the week before. And we know when the Storm play the Warriors because of the Michael Moore trophy, but also the expat, well, the Kiwis that are within the side, they really want to come back and haunt the Warriors. And I'm sure we'll get into detail about that a little bit later on. But yeah, it's one of those ones where you feel, especially after 20 minutes, that it's one that got away. But Webby has spoken about it with this side over the last few weeks. It's not about having the best stats at the end of the game, because possession and completion is one thing, but you've got to have your constant steady flow of that to ensure that you can make good use of that. Let's think about the first 20 minutes. You know, 14 points, is that enough? You know, I think it was 8 points during that period. Is that enough really against a really good Storm side to put them away and to count for what you did in terms of being able to hold them down? So it's a tough one, because when the momentum shifts, as it does happen, especially when you lose two players, it's hard enough playing against a Storm with your full complement, but to lose two players at crucial moments of the game just makes it a little bit harder. So I can only think if they didn't have that position early on for 20 minutes, that it could have been a lot harder in terms of the outcome.
We were talking before we hit record on that left side, short side attack there, 24 points, and they all came down that short side with Barnett, Wirtz, and then Maas grabbing a double too. It's not something we've seen a lot so far from the team this year. We're more known for our more sweeping plays and dominating through the middle, but quite often there was a 10-metre channel, didn't look like a lot was on, and the lads just created something out of nothing on that side.
And the great thing about it, there was no Tamati on the left, there was no Sean Johnson on the left. There's been a lot of talk about the side being too predictable, being too right side eccentric, but now we're playing short side, and that means Wade Egan is looking up, and who normally has probably a beacon and like a homing like missile on his shoulder, where's Sean, I'll find Sean, to play away from your halves. Shows that you've got real confidence in your teammates and what you can do as a team. And for Barney to come down that short side and create the overlap and then just to pierce through himself for that pass, you know, from Charles Nicol Klukster, absolutely amazing, crazy. Now, he normally pops up on the right and he's normally running in off that shape that you talk about so often, but this time he finds a short side and he just passes a pass that, you know, Benji would be very, very proud of. That you'd like. And then Wirtz, you know, people probably sleeping on Pompey and what he did late in that game as well. I think what he's done this year and what he's been able to do, you know, playing a little bit of second row in cup or doing what he needs to do to come back into the side, you know, he's been a very good player, you know, and that try that he put on at the end for Maas was huge as well.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on Wirtz a little because at the start of the year, it looked like he was going to be floating around the squad, really pushing to make the 17, but wasn't quite getting the opportunities. Ever since he's been given a crack, he's been outstanding, right? That's a testament to his character.
Well, before the game, I was out there and there was only two guys left on the field before the team meeting, and it was Wirtz, which is Adam Pompey, and also Jacko Ford. And they stayed out there for a longer period of time, and they're the guys that are normally on the left together, and they're the guys that really cherish these moments. And then I was talking to Jacko about the forwards, the middle versus the edge, and he says, mate, I just want to play, and I'm just happy I get to play. And Wirtz was nodding his head furiously, and even he was talking about early on this year, after playing every minute of every game last year, to think that he was not really going to be part of the big mix in everyone else's mind out there, especially in the experts' minds and what they pick on their team week to week. So those two guys out there even longer, absorbing it, taking it all in, and just being very appreciative and grateful for the moments that they get. I mean, Jacko Ford is out there. I think we were calling the game and 8 minutes in, he's got 9 carries. And at times I've watched him over the last couple of weeks and it looks like he's gone off his feet. The message comes out, check on Jacko Ford, is he right? And he's run another 2 times in a set. He's a guy that just really enjoys his opportunity and the fact that, you know, he left St. George because he wasn't getting enough moments to shine, and he just comes here and he just refuses not to enjoy every opportunity he can just to get dirty and do what he can for the team. You know, he's only 100 kegs. I asked him during the week, I mean, how much do you weigh, bro? And he goes, 100 kegs. And I said, are you sure you weigh that? He goes, why do I look smaller? I look, nothing against you, Jacko. But, just the way he throws his body around and just, you know, he's just fearless in the middle, and just his work rate as well as just educated in and around the rucks, you know, going to the side that needed for the extra man, but just cleaning up, really.
Yeah, he's all heart, isn't he? Obviously, conceding 38 points on paper isn't ideal, but I thought a lot of their points came off the back of fifth tackle options, which we'll touch on soon because I thought Jerome Hughes put on a clinic. But for the majority of the game defensively, the lads were really locked in, and I thought Mitch Barnett and Murata in particular, they really set the tone out there on those edges, don't they? You don't want to be a ribcage running into Murata.
Well, you know, Mitch Barnett's scary enough as it is. You know, I think when he first came last year, I was talking about this guy that, watch out, if you think about Kevin Campion, this is Kevin Campion on steroids, plus some, because he is a big body, a man with such belief, and he wants to go after people. He always goes after people in moments in the game, whether that be the kicker, whether that be leading the line speed, whether it be defensively, or whether it be the tough carry that he's got to do. So he really takes it upon himself to be the leader in that respect. But, you know, he's an intimidator. He just gets up. He's a no-nonsense type of guy. But having Mata on the other side doing that, or even through the middle, because there's no bigger body than him. And don't forget, being an ex-center, he's got that leg speed. And, you know, when he runs, it's a scary-looking character. You know, there was 2 tries that he could have scored. Oh. It was really close. I mean, Sofa Alonga was there or thereabouts. And, you know, Grant was there to help on occasion too. But Man, we saw early against the Dolphins in the start of the year in the trials how scary it would be, and that's through the middle. So it doesn't matter if he plays in the middle or on the edge. He is just a guy that goes, when I want to run, watch out. And if you're a defender and you're seeing him come into the line, it's hard not to take your full attention. And then defensively, I think there was that one set, even though Melbourne did get off their own end when there was that turnover. The boys hunted, you know, they put a number of bodies in motion and the collisions were absolutely huge. And Marata, he's just frightening when he comes off that line with that line speed and just wants to whack blokes.
I think you've touched on previous pods around how last year we used like leg hooks and wrestling techniques to really dominate the middle defensively. I think this year there's been a real emphasis. I notice it so much now. Whenever we make contact, we're driving them back 3, 4, 5 meters on the majority of plays. Is that a tactic now that we're starting to use, like bigger numbers into contact just to really dominate that area? Because some of those other techniques you can't quite get away with anymore.
Yeah, you're right. I think that that single leg sweep last year, or lift and hook, really helped us last year, and we didn't have too many people having to get back in, and we could slow it down and get back and have numbers to come off the defensive line. But in that situation, they're picking them up, rushing them back. We've seen that time and time again. They were doing that at the back end of last year. But, you know, when the collision and the line speed is as good as they're doing right now, it means you can employ that. You can't if you're not winning tackles, if you're not winning collisions. And, you know, that's what the Melbourne Storm pride themselves on, and that's winning the ground battles. So if you can get up there, if you can win those collisions, if you can put them on the back foot, it makes it so much harder. And, you know, we saw that last night. The boys, on the weekend, I should say, the boys were extremely physical against a really good side, and you need to be. And that's the sort of stuff that I love seeing the boys going after, because not only are they going after them, but they're going after them in a manner where we've got also numbers in, and they're finishing off the tackles and they're winning the tackles, and that's probably the most impressive thing about it.
Jerome Hughes, we love having him in a Kiwis jersey, but every time he wears that purple of the Storm, geez, he always turns it on back home. And then another ex-Warrior in Ali Kator really turned it on as well. It's cool to see because they're one of us, basically, but at the same time, it hurts, doesn't it?
That's a love-hate relationship with those two. Ali Katoa, he's a former old boy of this club.
Yeah.
And to play for this club when he only played a handful of rugby league games, and then he's playing first grade and doing what he always promised to have that ability, and to go to the Storm where you can't get a better education. I was sort of expecting a little bit more from him last year, but this year he's just found his straps, hit his straps, and he's playing so well. A huge body who can run, who can dent a line, who can ball play. Defensively, very sound too. You know, I think, you know, he scored one try down the other end, you know, stripping that ball from Wetts and Pompey. But then just before that set on the other end, he was saving a try. And so that just shows you the type of player he is now and what he could do, and as a big body and educated boy now within the system, and just the ability to do what he does. You know, is he just in that Tongan team, or can we pick him from the Kiwis as well? Ali?
Yeah.
Let me know. I'll give you a call.
Yeah, there we go. Nothing better than Uncle Monts on the blower to really convince him.
But Jerome, world class. It's funny because I remember him at the Bulldogs when he was playing a little bit halfback, but since he's gone to Melbourne, he is really one of the premier halves in the competition. And I love watching him play better in the black jumper and not against us. But, you know, he once again had some of the biggest plays, and probably one of the biggest plays for him was just understanding that moment when Marcelo was not quite onside, picking him out and just running at him to get that professional foul. But across that, he picked the right moments, when to kick, how to kick. You see him talking to his teammates and getting them up, and just even just pinpointing inside shoulders and doing what he does. He's just a superb athlete, man. Defensively, very good. And ask Jacko Ford, even the flexion of his leg to extend out just a touch, Jacko, to get the penalty, which is still warranted, you know. I mean, it's just the smarts of him, you know, when he's bossing a team around the park under fatigue, but he just knows what he needs to do to keep turning the screws to make sure that his side stays in front, man.
Bit of aerial Pilates there from Hughes. You got to love that. Touching on our halves combo, because there was a lot made during the week around how it was going to work. Sean coming back from injury, Tamari had been our dominant ball player. And we kind of saw that again on the weekend, right? Quite often it was T playing that first hands out of the halves combination, SJ sweeping around the back. Is that something you think we see moving forward, or was that more just Sean coming back from injury, just kind of getting his feelers back out there?
No, I think Sean has said also that he wants to make sure that what they've been doing in the past 3 weeks doesn't get discredited and discounted. They want to just keep working on that, because what Tamaita's been doing, going to the line, you know, inside shoulders, drawing people, going very deep too, and making really good decisions. Tamaita's making good decisions on the line, and there's times when he took the line himself on and he just got caught and got tackled, but there's a quick play of the ball. That's what you want on the side. And I think in time they'll get that combination right, because, you know, don't forget there was 3 or 4 tries scored down the short side where there was no Tamaiti, there was no Sean Johnson. So if you're a defensive team in pass, when you're looking on the tip sheet and you're thinking about how we play the side, and we know the majority of their tries are scored on their right or through their middle now, now that we're how many got scored on the left side, and it was short sides as well. So there really becomes a stage where you don't have to follow one in particular player, because you don't know who's the gauge or who's the one to watch out for in terms of the one with the, you know, who's steering the ship around the place.
It was another sold out Mount Smart. The fortress was packed yet again, and there was a bit of rain in the lead up, so I was a little bit worried, because often, you know, that can scare people off. But you mentioned it was like a test match atmosphere. Yeah. There's nothing better, right? The lights go down, the boys run out of the tunnel. It's a pretty special feeling, isn't it?
Oh, look, it is huge. You know, like the boys, when they know that it's a big night, but even like the atmosphere I was talking about, I don't know what it was. Maybe it's because you know, when I was talking to Jacko and those boys out on the field, and they were the last ones there, the gates hadn't actually opened yet. And there was just some sort of feel around the place. I think Webby said he got stopped so many times throughout that day. Maybe it's just the feel around the place for the Warriors and how they've been going the last few weeks, and they knew it was against a really good Melbourne side. You know, but that feel was there because I think it was the week that the boys had in training, the confidence they had coming into the game and really attacking, going after the Melbourne Storm and believing that they can beat a Melbourne Storm side. And when people talk about, you know, 15 straight games, now 16, it's not. You know, if you think about this team, this group, this year, they were winning with 1 minute to go in the game in the previous year, and they lost by 4 points. Yeah. And they were losing by 8 points with 2 men in the sin bin before there's a try in the last minute of that game. Then if you go back to last year, the third game, there was an 8-point deficit. So it is closing. Now, I think if you have the next fifth, you know, if you think about the last 15, put that to a side, the next 15 games, I think it will be a very even split in terms of the contest between the two and how evenly matched they are. So that's the difference. You know, when you talk about numbers and stats, you know, you can't hang that stuff on this team, this squad, and the new coaching staff.
When you look at the last month on the whole, wins against the Panthers, the Dolphins, the Cowboys over there, obviously we had the bye, and then a strong performance against the Storm. You got to be pretty happy with that, right?
I think the last 3 weeks previous to the Storm game, and I'm still happy with the elements of the Storm game, I've been scratching my head in the 30 seasons to think of any better, and I don't think there's any better. There may be some on par or aligned with it, because you think about where the club was, if they hadn't won those games, and to jag the Panthers game already, we were saying, man, this is amazing, but they've got to win the following week for this to really be of value, because you can't win against a really good side and then lose against a side not as fancied, although they're in the top 4 as well. But you come there, you pick that up, then you travel on the road, one of the hardest trips overseas, to a very good Cowboys side who, you know, had a big win on the weekend as well. Just shows you that those 3 wins, when the club, and when I say is desperate, when you walk around the place, you don't see that desperation amongst this coaching staff. You don't see that around the players. There's all a good feel, good positive spin, and then their trainings have been first class. And you know, although you think it would be pressure, it would be pretty hard. Just the way that they've knuckled down and they've worked through that is really impressive.
Taking on the Titans this week, a team that we probably owe one after that Anzac Day upset here too. How important is it for the boys to go over there, bounce back? Saturday arvo on the Goldie. It's a pretty good scenario to be playing some footy. You looking forward to that one?
Yeah, I am. I am because, you know, like, you know, paybacks is always good. But, you know, they're also, after their loss in the weekend, they're going to want to come back and play good. And there's no place like home to do that. And so it's going to be a very hard team. And they'll have that sort of confidence of what they did, you know, over here at Go Media Stadium. So it's an interesting one. I just want to, you know, we're going to miss Mitch Barnett. There's no doubt about that. Rocket Berry potentially is out. But, you know, we've got Roger Tuivasa-Sheck coming back in. So there's a few players to come in. Is Kirk Capel there? We don't know. You know, is he a part of the origin squad, which means he's out. So there's maybe a bit of, you know, musical chairs in terms of the players, but in terms of having a fuller complement of players to choose from, I think we'd be in a pretty good position.
You mentioned Mitch there too, just off the back of an extension. How important is that for us? Because his form this year has been outstanding, but we've touched on like the development in his leadership and those other aspects of his game as well. But he's becoming a real fan favourite and probably one of the first names you dot down every week. So to have him extend for another couple of years, it's pretty crucial, isn't it?
I told my mates last year in pre-season, I said, watch out for this guy, man. Mm. And then there was a couple of car sponsors out there looking and everywhere else. I said, mate, you've got to get onto this guy because I knew of him, but being around him and seeing him operate and seeing how he would run and what he'd put his body through and how he'd be around the place, because he's a no-nonsense type of guy. He doesn't waste words. He's economical with his words, but there's sometimes a lot of there's a lot of impotence behind what he says. Mm. But look, wonderful bloke, 2-year extension, which means he's here for 3 years, you know, and then he had the birth of Zane's new baby boy. So him and Claire would be pretty happy. And, it's a nice way to sort of be acknowledged for what you've been doing at this club. You know, he's very well respected, not just here, but overseas as well in terms of the opponents. And then that's why he's featured in the last two Origin series in the wider squad. Now, that's not my colour in terms of the shade of blue,
but come on,
he should be in there. Like, honestly, if you think about you want a person out there with a little bit of X factor, a lot of mongrel, with a lot of heart, a big engine, and we'll go after those little moments. I talk to you about moments, and that's what he does for us often, with the ball, without the ball. That's exactly what you need in the Origin arena. He's a big body. He goes after the game. And, you know, like, I just, you know, and I think he will lift even then some in that funny coloured jumper.
Yeah, I'm a Blues fan, and I'd love to see Madge make it happen. So surely give him a run. He won't let you down. Just back on the Gold Coast, obviously a massive Warriors fan base over there. Looking forward to plenty of Warriors fans getting out this week and making this one feel like another home game for us.
It doesn't matter where the boys go. The fans have been amazing. They're out there in their bus loads. They've got the drum going. They turn out in force. You know, I think the Magic Ground was you know, them behind the posts. And then we still hear of stories I saw on social media how they just took over Magic Ground. So we love our fans. We thank our fans. Mm. And please get out there in force again, because it may be the difference. And I know the boys truly appreciate that. And whether at home, whether away, it does lift them and take another 2% in terms of efforts in what they do.
And you touched as well on a few players that might be missing this week, but the cup side's going so well. We've had guys that have come in on short notice and already proven that they have the ability to play first grade regularly. How much does that give like a confidence boost, not just for the guys coming in, but their teammates, the established boys, knowing that whoever comes in, you can trust them to do a job?
I think everyone gets confidence because you've got guys that are playing in SG Ball this year, played in that squad, that scored 2 tries, 1 try in the weekend, but not just scoring tries. They were a big part of the cup.
Mm.
So everyone in the SG Ball team that played this year, that are coming back for their second year next year, they knew they played with Mutu, they knew they played with Rodney. So if they can see them, if they can believe they can be like them, then it truly is possible. So to see them do that, and every time you go up, because I know the Flegg team who just had a loss in the weekend, in the last sort of hour before they were travelling that day, they had two of them get moved straight up to cup, so they miss out on having them when they've been preparing with them all week. But it's the mentality there. It's not just about you or your side. You've got to move up, and you've got to be ready to bolster the people above you, because the ultimate goal of this club is to provide first graders.
Mm.
And to make sure that the first grade is at its absolute best, and they flourish when everyone else underneath them come through. We're talking about a cup, and you know, there's a few edge players out this week. Jacob Laban was exceptional on the weekend, so physical. I mean, he had a huge presence, and I was watching him play. Leka Haleasima,
oh.
He's always been good. That kid could still play SG Ball now. So you know, Zion's injured, Ali's injured, so there's still a few boys out. You know, Paulie Roach, who's just come back and shown that he does belong in that hooking role, and he can play some good minutes in first grade, is injured. There's a lot of people injured, but there's a lot of ability and belief there that if they do what they need to do and ask of themselves, that their team and the teams above them will be better for it.
Great stuff. You got me excited there, mate. So looking forward to this weekend. That's all I've got for you, Mons. So we'll let you go. I know you're a busy man, but hopefully we're talking again in a couple of weeks' time off the back of some more nice, impressive Warriors wins.
Let's go, my man.
Legend. Cheers, bro.